Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. Welcome back if you're a regular listener, and a new welcome to you if you're a new listener. And if you are a new listener, just to let you know, this is a two-hour show combining thought-provoking conversations. In the first hour, out and about on the street on different topics, talking to ordinary people or not so ordinary people. And in the second hour, thought-provoking conversations with arts guests from all areas of the arts. And for the arts interview in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing one of America's most celebrated illustrators, Myra Kalman. An illustrator, writer, and product designer, Myra has written and illustrated over 18 children's books, as well as producing award-winning books for adults and designing all kinds of objects, such as fabrics, bags, and clocks. And Myra has an amazing body of creative work, which includes projects such as illustrating Strunk and White's classic, The Elements of Style, a small opera based on text composed by Nico Muley, collaborations with designers like Isaac Mizrahi and Kate Spade, and two hugely popular monthly online columns she created for the New York Times, the first of which, The Principles of Uncertainty, was a narrative journal of her life, and the second, And the Pursuit of Happiness, was a year-long exploration of American history and democracy. And both columns are now collected in book form. Her most recent book is called Beloved Dog. It's a book of wise words and whimsical pictures, which celebrates the sage lessons animals teach us. It really is a lovely book. So an incredibly talented artist. I'm really looking forward to talking to her in the second hour. In this hour, we're considering our topic this week: how should we teach children about sex? And I've been out and about, as usual, getting opinions on the street, hopefully to get us thinking on this topic. So let's hear my first conversation. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed and stopping for our Out and About feature. This week we're considering, how should we teach children about sex? Do you think children should be taught about sex, or do you think they should just find out for themselves?
I think children should definitely be taught about sex.
Okay, and how would you want to see that happening? In school or at home or both? Is there a preference, do you think?
I think that it should be taught at home rather than at schools. I think there's too much caught up with, in terms of legal senses with schools, and if we take the time to teach our own kids about sex and the intricacies of it, I think that would work out well.
What about the issue that some parents just don't address sex, and therefore if it's not taught at home, those children are going to have no sex education at all?
That's an interesting point.
I mean, I think that is the main reason that sex education started in school, was because they felt that perhaps it wasn't being covered, you know, in the homes.
Sure. The problem I have with sex being taught in schools is it turns out to be an anatomy or biology lesson, and
right,
that should be taught as part of those respective classes. Sexuality is something much different that no school even tries to approach, and for good reason, because it can be a complicated and sticky subject. So if kids aren't being taught by their parents because they can't, that does pose a significant problem. Maybe communities, if the communities that these families are a part of have sex education or something like that.
Right, okay, from a community perspective. According to research from Georgetown University published in Global Public Health, authors Igras, Messier, and Murphy and Lundgren state Very young adolescents between the ages of 10 and 14 represent about half of the 1.2 billion adolescents aged 10 to 19 in the world today. Most interventions focus on older adolescents. Since early adolescence marks a critical transition between childhood and older adolescence and adulthood, setting the stage for future sexual and reproductive health and gendered attitudes and behaviours, targeted investment in very young adults is imperative to lay foundations for healthy future relationships. And thinkprogress.org states the study authors recommend that sex ed programs should be refocused to target kids who are at the very beginning of puberty, when they're most receptive to messages that could shape their future attitudes towards sex. So I'm wondering whether it's taught at home or in school, what age you think children should be taught about sex? I mean, obviously they're saying early is better because otherwise they're already perhaps maybe sexually active before they've been given any information. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
My thoughts are that children should be taught pre-adolescent.
Okay.
Extremely early. I actually went through sex education beginning in the fourth grade. So,
okay.
And I found I got a lot of information, but it still didn't exactly prepare me to have sex and what, you know, and have responsible sex.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that generally speaking, there isn't much taught about the relationship aspect of sex, you know, emotional aspects, you know, how you connect in that way, respect for your own body, other people's bodies, you know, what it actually means to share intimacy with someone. Is that something you might want to see included, or do you think that's one of those tricky areas you were talking about?
No, that's absolutely what I'd like to see included. I think that a lot of times, because we don't teach our children adequately about sex, they get the information they need from the media or pornography, and yeah, those aren't entirely representative of the human sexual experience. It's monetized. It's meant to sell. It's not reflective of healthy sexual behavior.
Yeah. And of course, now with so much pornography being readily available on the internet to anyone, that is out there if people are curious. And so if that is the only thing that young people are interacting with, it is giving a pretty distorted, very one-dimensional view of sex. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Many states rely on abstinence-only sex programs, and many people fear that teaching about sex earlier will lead to greater sexual activity and even promiscuity. According to an article by Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune, Victoria Jennings, the director of the Institute for Reproductive Health at Georgetown, says if it's done properly, it has the opposite effect. It has to be done in the context of helping them develop healthy self-esteem and the ability to negotiate their way in the world and develop expectations for themselves and their lives that will cause them to make decisions that will lead to positive outcomes. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on abstinence-only programs and whether you think that is a good way to go. Just don't do it. Avoid all the problems. Don't do it.
I think we need to talk about things. I mean, abstinence has its place in certain situations, but telling children to not have sex as a solution to sex education, I think, in itself is wrong. And people are going to have sex. Humans are sexual beings, so telling children to not have sex is telling them not to be human. And I think there in itself lies the problem with abstinence only.
Right. I was just thinking it's often a conservative argument, you know, that teaching about sex leads to sexual activity, and yet it's also a conservative argument that just having guns doesn't lead to violence because it's the people who use the guns. So if you put that logic onto the sexual argument, then just having knowledge is not going to make you necessarily do something. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Could I ask you how you found out about sex?
How I found out about sex. Yeah, like I said,
In fourth grade,
I went to a sex education class, but it covered the basics of biology and anatomy and things like that. In fact, every time I've taken sex education in school, it's been that sort of thing. As for learning about sex the way that I see it now, it's been through experience, through asking people about what their experiences are. And now that the internet has connected people worldwide, I can read other people's experience regarding sex and matters associating with relationships. So
right, yeah, of course, that's interesting. And so the main improvement
to what your experience was would be a more multidimensional approach involving the emotional side.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's all really focused in communication, right? Open and honest communication between the parties involved.
Right,
and
yes, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that we even teach communication anymore in schools.
No, it's true.
So, I mean, if we were to teach kids about communication, then maybe these problems regarding sex wouldn't even be a problem.
Yes, yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, a lot of universities now are doing these sex programs, particularly about consent, you know, and sexual assault and what that actually entails and what consent means. It seems a little bit late to be doing that, too. I mean, that seems to be something people should understand earlier. Do you think?
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, it's great that we're having those conversations, even if it is, you know, later better than never, right?
Right, yes.
But yeah. Absolutely, I think we need to just teach kids these days, you know, where their responsibilities lie when interacting with other people sexually.
Yes, yeah. And perhaps, as you were saying, in a broader sense as well, you know, because with all road rage and things like that, there's a lot of aspects where our communication is off and our expectations are different to other people's, and that can cause problems and conflict.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations about this week's topic. How should we teach children about sex? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. I hope that the interviews are giving you some food for thought. Perhaps as you listen, you can think about what you would have responded to these questions had I stopped you on the street and you had agreed to talk to me. And remember, you can always send me comments to ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, the next person I spoke to was Dave. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Dave.
Well, thanks for stopping for our Out and About feature, Dave. And this week we're considering how should we teach our children about sex? I'm wondering, do you think children should be taught about sex, or rather just find out for themselves, or if they are taught, whether it should be in school or at home?
Both. I think both at home and at school, on the medical side and, you know, and all of that in school, but at home on values and morals and waiting and stuff like that.
What do you think about the possibility that some children don't get any education on the values and moral and emotional side at home? Would that be an argument you think that those things should perhaps be covered in school as well?
No, I don't think it's up to the schools to raise our children. I mean, it's up to them to educate them but not raise them. The raising should be at home, and learning those kinds of things should be done at home by the parents. That's the parents' job.
Right. Okay. ThinkProgress.org comments, in the US, other researchers have warned that kids aren't receiving accurate sexual health instruction at an early enough age. According to a recent report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, most American teens don't receive formal sexual health instruction until they've already become sexually active. That's largely because the United States hasn't implemented any national standards for comprehensive sex ed classes in public schools. For instance, just 18 states in the District of Columbia require sexual health courses to cover information about birth control. So I'm wondering, this research has been showing that it's more effective for younger teens between 10 to 14 rather than older. What age do you think?
10 to 14, of course. Kids nowadays are a lot smarter than what we give them, so.
Right.
Yeah, they start early. Yeah, they know what's going on.
I'm wondering what you think about the abstinence-only approach to sexual education. Many states in America, that is their only approach to sexual education. I'm wondering what you think about that.
No, I think you need to teach it all, but teach abstinence though first. You know, it's scary out there and stuff, and you need to teach them that it's a scary world. You just can't go around sleeping around, you
right.
know. But abstinence is the best way. But they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So you might as well make sure they're educated and they're aware of what's going on. But do teach abstinence. Do push yeah. that first.
I mean, teaching sex at home, do you think it's an important aspect to talk about the relationship and emotional side of sex? Because that doesn't seem to be covered very much.
Oh, of course, that's what, you know, that's kind of what sex is all about, emotional and all of that.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
you know, unless you're in the porn industry, I mean,
yeah.
it is all about emotion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
yeah, you definitely have to teach them, whether it be boy or girl, that, you know, love should be there and you should care and stuff. And that's, you know,
yeah.
it's an emotional thing that happens between two people.
It tends to be, in some cases, lower socioeconomic communities that perhaps have higher rates of sexual activity, and one could speculate that might be because of their upbringing. So I know you were saying it's not up to the government to teach our children, but could you see any advantage to teaching some communication, relationship skills at school, even if it's not allied to sex?
Unfortunately, the inner city, yes, there is, you know, no parenting there sometimes, if any at all. So yeah, I think, especially in the inner city, maybe in community centers and stuff like that, there should be something that should teach these kids something, because unfortunately they're not learning at home. They're, you know, unfortunately they have parents, or just one parent, a mother who's working 2-3 jobs and is not there.
Yes.
And I think as a community, it's up to everybody to kind of look and watch over everybody, each other.
Right, yeah, the community responsibility. Could I ask you how you found out about sex?
Oh, actually, I found out about sex because my brother got this girl pregnant when he was a teen, and it scared the hell out of me because I thought my mom and dad were going to kill him. So I kind of just like, you know what, that's not probably a good idea. But I, to be honest with you, I lost my virginity on my honeymoon night when I got married. No, it's not because I'm all prude and all that. I just waited.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, do you think it was that scare, or do you think there was some element in your upbringing that helped you to want the emotional component?
Scare, and I was a geek. It was hard for me to get girls, so, you know, it wasn't really that easy or that hard to be abstinent when it's not there, so.
That's funny. For your own sexual education, how would you have wanted it to be improved?
Oh, I taught my kids. I have a daughter who's married, and I have a son who's in the military, and I taught them both at an early age about sex, and then talked to them about it, was trying to be as open as I can with them, you know, I mean, as far as you can go.
Yes.
And, but, you know, I think it's more important that kids know that they should be able to talk to their parents about anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is, drugs or sex.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. That's definitely the optimal position. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations about this week's topic, how should we teach children about sex? And if you have any comments on this, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I always like to hear your thoughts. So that's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And next this week, I spoke to Ike. So let's hear what he had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What's your name?
My name is Ike.
Well, thanks, Ike, for agreeing to take part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about how should we teach children about sex? I'm wondering if you thought they should be taught at all, and if so, whether it should be in school, at home, both?
I think it should be both. Parents obviously have a huge part bringing up their children, but a lot of times they're not trained to talk about sex, and sometimes it brings in some odd views that have been passed down generationally. The thing about teaching sex in schools and sex ed is you can opt out of it right now. You know, it's not forced upon students. They're usually allowed to opt out.
Well, there's more about the parents opting out.
It's the parents opting out. Yeah. Sometimes for religious reasons, I've seen students drop out. Or not drop out, sorry. Opt out of it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important because if you don't teach your children about sex somewhere, a lot of parents won't even touch the subject. I know my parents were rather clinical about it. They used books and textbooks and such, but not everyone has the same upbringing, you know. So some people, like my grandfather, couldn't talk to my dad about it. And I've seen examples where parents can't touch the subject at all. They're too awkward with their own children. So having a third party could really help out.
In the states that do have sex education, it tends to focus more on the biological aspects and also contraception and sexual diseases. Do you think that there's a place for more education on the emotional and perhaps relationship aspects of sex?
Oh, absolutely. Consent is not taught in schools, or they're trying to teach it in certain states, I believe. And even in the UK, I read an article that there's a couple students, or a couple of schools, excuse me, where they're trying to teach consent, and consent is a huge part of it. Again, that should also be taught at home, I believe, though. And oftentimes isn't.
Yeah. And I think, you know, understanding what consent means is something that colleges are dealing with now, because the rate of rape and sexual assault is so high at college. I think they're having to take preemptive action. But I think there's two aspects to consent. One is as the male, which, you know, is usually the initiating person in teenagers. Although I'm making a generalization there, I suppose. But whoever's initiating it has to understand the other person has to give consent. But I think it's very important for the person who's perhaps more reticent to understand in what circumstances they need to give consent, because there's often a pressure, I think, that needs to be understood that you don't have to give in to.
I agree with you there that there's a lot of pressure on both young women and young men to kind of allow for that to happen, or allow themselves to be pushed into sex when they're not ready, by older people, people who see. Basically, the bottom line is, if you don't teach and you're not taught, then you're not going to know.
No.
If you're not taught, you're not going to know. And if you don't touch the subject, no one's going to be taught, which is circular thinking, it sounds like, but really it's important to get that out there. Don't avoid it and try to talk about it, but...
Well, also, I think perhaps in the past you could live in under the illusion that if you didn't talk about sex to your children, that they actually wouldn't find out about it until they got married. And that happened to a lot of people. I mean, that really did, especially women. I think they had no idea what was going to happen on their wedding night. But today, with the internet, obviously that is just virtually impossible.
I mean, it's even in ads, you know?
That's true,
I mean, even Playboy's not doing nudes anymore because they...
you can just, so ubiquitous.
Yeah, you can. It's everywhere, you know, and you can find any sex act on the planet just by a click away. And sometimes that could be frightening to younger kids and teens because you just see this and you're like, wait, I'm supposed to consent to that? That's, I mean, it's there's some pretty unspeakable things on the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think also something which I'm thinking of with what you brought up is that, you know, there is a kind of visceral response to sexual acts that, I think it's important for young people to understand that they may feel a sexual response to something. That doesn't necessarily mean they want to do it. That it's just a kind of physical response. And like you're saying, if you see weird, you know, even horrible things and you feel a sexual response, then that could be very confusing without any direction from anyone.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But on the question, I mean, definitely teach it in schools and at home.
Many states rely on abstinence-only sex programs, and many people fear that teaching about sex earlier will lead to greater sexual activity and even promiscuity. According to an article by Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune, Victoria Jennings, the director of the Institute for Reproductive Health at Georgetown, says if it's done properly, it has the opposite effect. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on abstinence-only approaches to sexual education.
Abstinence-only is a lot like the forbidden fruit mentality, you know? You say, don't do it, and then they're curious, and then they do it because someone's talking, you know?
Yeah.
I'm all for full-on getting in-depth, and I had a teacher in middle school in seventh grade, and his whole spiel was he would teach kids so much about sex that they wouldn't want to do it till they're 60, was his joke, you know? And I think it worked out for a lot of kids. Because
you know, what was he teaching?
He was, you know, STDs are a huge part of it that no one goes into.
Right.
Or STIs, I guess.
Was he scaring kids?
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was just being clinical about it.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some research that's come out recently that's shown that it's much more effective to teach adolescents earlier on, between 10 to 14, whereas most programs are later than that. They're in high school. And it's sort of like, you know, the horse is out of the stable at that point, possibly. But, you know, people have already perhaps formed a lot of ideas by then. Would you think that teaching at a younger age would be better?
Well, I definitely don't want to teach kindergartners about it, perhaps. But I think introducing it slowly over time would... I mean, they're going to see it on TV anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, but introducing the idea of it.
Yeah.
And the ideas of consent. Because the younger you are, the more impressionable you are. And if you start to introduce ideas of emotional connection rather than objectification of the opposite sex or of any sex, I think that kids will grow up to be better, more well-formed, well-rounded adults as far as emotional connection goes.
Right, yeah. There's a sort of stereotypical idea of teenagers that, you know, as boys with kind of rampant hormones that are just looking to kind of, you know, get into any sort of sexual encounter that they can. It seems that latterly there's a lot of girls who also are treating sex in a much more casual way. Is that something, I mean, obviously you are a young person that you've seen, or do you think that there is still a desire to have sex within a more loving relationship?
It's a little bit of both, you know? I was definitely in the gray area category with that as a teenager. And I think that it's more important to teach the emotional value of sexual connection, because a lot of people are treating it too casually.
Yes.
So, of course, be scientific about it, but it's going to have an effect on you. You know, the first time you have sex has a literal chemical effect on you, and it changes your emotions. And depending on your relationship at the time, and your first time, and how it happens, it can really hurt you. It could really hurt you in the long run.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, apart from sort of pregnancies and diseases and things like that, that's what a lot of parents, I think, are concerned about, that they don't want, you know, their children who they see as vulnerable to be in situations, you know.
But they didn't know back then, you know. Not that they didn't know that it would affect them emotionally. They weren't taught that it would affect them emotionally right away.
Right.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I wasn't around, but...
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't taught emotionally, our school system has gotten more liberal with it.
Right.
You know, and if it was more conservative back then,
yeah.
or more... you know.
That's a good differentiation, I think, actually. And also, perhaps, you know, I mean, I am being a little bit generalized with gender, but... That perhaps isn't something that boys think about very much, that it could have a real emotional effect, which could be good or hard, as you're saying. It, you know.
Well, you are generalizing a little bit, but also we live in a rape culture. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on the radio, but yeah, we live in a rape culture where men objectify women, and it's socially acceptable. I mean, women objectify men just as much, but not in the same way.
Yes.
And it's not as socially acceptable to do it.
Right.
You know, we're taught by Hollywood, we're taught from a very young age that this is how it goes.
Yes.
And a lot of that, I think, is from old values of not teaching. And those old values are sticking around. And those old values are hurting us as a society. Those old values are really hurting your youth. They're hurting your kids. And I'm not saying you have to change your ways. I'm just saying you have to be more open to discussion and open communication. And open communication is good for everyone, I think, which is, I'm rambling now, but you know.
No, I think it's been a theme of people I've spoken to is that communication skills are lacking generally, and that might be something of itself to be very would be important to teach in school.
Yeah.
And that of course would have ramifications in sexual relations as well.
I mean, I'm 20. I'm pretty much addicted to my phone. I'm, you know, like it's hard for me to talk to certain people sometimes because they're more addicted to technology, or we're more addicted to ourselves, even?
Well, there is an increase in narcissism. I just did a show on this.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
So a decrease in empathy and an increase in narcissism amongst college students.
Hooray, I'm not alone. That's awful. Oh, boy. But, yeah.
So that's something to think about, too. Because, of course, you know, sex is a very intimate act that
it does
involve, you know, two people kind of connecting, you know,
it's a form
level.
Of communication, you know, and if you're not going to communicate with yourself and you're going to be addicted to yourself, then you're not going to be ready, I think, to communicate that deeply with another human being. And I think that's all across the board. That's affecting us.
I think you're right. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Yeah, well, thanks for everything. Just thank you for talking with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning.
Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I hope you're enjoying this week's conversations on the street. The next person that I spoke to was Ashley. So let's hear what she had to say.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Ashley.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for Out and About. And this week we're looking at how should we teach children about sex? And I guess firstly, do you think children should be taught about sex or just find out any way they can?
I think they should, or they find out about it in more unhealthy ways, just like on the internet and stuff like that.
Okay, and so do you think they should be taught at home, at school, both?
Definitely both. I think both.
Okay. There's some new research that's come out that's found that it would be much more effective to teach adolescents earlier on about sex. Most of the programs that exist in America in states that do have sex education are teaching it at high school, which is later, and they're saying, you know, a lot of times people are already sexually active or they've already learnt things from, you know, other means. Would you think it's a good idea to teach earlier?
Yeah, I think teaching maybe middle school level would be more beneficial because, like I said earlier, kids will be curious and they go to other outlets that might be less healthy to try to find out things about sex.
Right, particularly now with the internet, as you mentioned, you can kind of find out anything.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Can I ask you how you found out about sex?
Gosh, I'm trying to think if I even remember. I think... yeah, mostly just like self-research, like things I wasn't sure about.
From other children, like, do you think? Or?
Yeah, like friends who were probably like had older sisters and were maybe more,
right,
like,
yeah,
knew more. Or, I mean, at the time, like Cosmo magazine, like silly things
true.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did have sex ed at school, did you?
We did, but it was kind of a joke, honestly.
Oh, really? What did it cover?
I mean, we learned more stuff about, like, diseases and stuff like that, more than, like, even prevention, just more, like, we learned about what will happen, more than, like, prevention, or even, like, I mean, we didn't really learn about sex, just, like...
Did they cover the biology of the how it works?
Not really, no.
No? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Not that I recall. I just remember learning more about, like, sexual diseases and stuff like that.
So it was more about don't do it because you'll get sexual diseases.
Yeah, or, I mean, it was a general health class that I took. It wasn't even called, like, sex education.
Right.
It was more just, like, health class. So, yeah, we learned about, like... yeah, like I said, diseases and stuff like that.
Do you think there's an aspect of sexual education that should cover the relationship aspect, communication, sort of the emotional part of sex?
Definitely. I think that's like a big problem is people like don't have healthy relationships with sex now. I think a lot of people, just because they're not really taught and... yeah, they're not really taught, and so they kind of develop these unhealthy relationships that they don't know are unhealthy because they're
right.
not taught.
Yes, yeah. And obviously in the media, the way sex is presented is... if there's no commentary on that by anyone sort of saying, well, this is how it's presented, but, you know, what does that mean? Is that what's right for you? Then you're just consuming without any thought.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I know I remember watching, like... TV shows like Degrassi. It was like the big show when I was younger, and it had like a bunch of unhealthy relationships. They weren't really portrayed as unhealthy. It was more just like, this is what happens. And so you don't really know that those kind of things are unhealthy.
What role do you think parents have in all of this? What would you think is optimal?
I definitely think parents have a big role. I mean, my parents were more like, not talk about it at all. And then we're more just like forbidden. And like when I had my first boyfriend when I was younger, it was very like overly strict about it. And then I would like rebel and sneak out. And so, I just don't think that's really the best way to go about it.
No.
I definitely think it's crucial to have more open. It's like it happens. You might as well be open about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jody Gummow in an article for alternate.org states, here in the United States, just 18 states in the District of Columbia require sexual health courses, which include birth control information, with most sex education directed at older youth after they've already become sexually active. In addition, there are no mandatory national standards for comprehensive sex education in America, and many conservative states still enforce abstinence-only courses for fear it will encourage children to engage in sexual behavior. This is despite evidence that shows that sex education has the opposite effect, namely it leads to young adults delaying sex as they become empowered by knowledge. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. Do you think being taught about sex makes you want to do it more if there was just a like blanket, no information, just don't do it till you're married? Would that be better, do you think? Or
definitely not. I think if anything, like especially teenagers are rebellious, and if you just tell them like, no, you can't have sex, it's not really going to change anything. They're still going to do it, and it's better to like be safe and educate them rather than just say, don't do it, because in the end that doesn't really have that much of an effect. Kids are going to do what they're going to do at the end of the day. So.
Right, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. I hope you're enjoying people's thoughts on the topic this week, and hope it's making you think about this and turn over in your own mind what your answers perhaps would be. Next up, I spoke to Dinah. She's the last person that I spoke to this week. So let's hear her thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Dinah.
Well, thanks so much, Dinah, for stopping for Out and About. And this week we're thinking about how should we teach children about sex? I mean, firstly, do you think children should be taught about sex, or do you think they should just kind of find out however they find out?
That never works out very well. So yes, I think they should be taught.
And do you think it should be taught in school as well as at home?
I think it should be taught at home, and I think it should be taught in school. I think the home sets the foundations for values and modeling good behavior and demonstrating what it is and how two people love each other and what that means. And I think that's really important. But not everybody gets that, and I think the schools need to step in and fill in the gap.
In the states that do provide sexual education, it seems to revolve mostly around the biological aspects, and then if there's any more, then it's about contraception and about sexual diseases and how to avoid them. Do you think there's a place for teaching more values and about the emotional intimacy of sex?
I think there is. I just heard someone on the radio talking about teaching character in the schools, and one of the things this guy said was that we all agree on 98% of character and value. You should be respectful. You shouldn't make someone do something they don't want to do. You shouldn't take advantage of someone. And I think that there is enough solid ground that we could talk about that's what should be taught.
It doesn't have to be linked to religion, I think, is what you're getting
at. Oh, God, no. Yes. No.
That crosses
that
religions.
That never works.
Many states rely on abstinence-only sex programs, even though there's a lot of research that shows that actually is counterproductive. But I'm wondering, I mean, what you think of that approach of just sort of not talking about sex and saying, just don't do it and you'll find out, you know, when you get married.
You'll find out when you get pregnant.
Right.
No, that never works. Studies show it doesn't work. That's just, I don't know. It's people have blinders that still think that's a good idea. So no, abstinence only doesn't work. It causes increased abortion and more pregnancy and, I mean, everything. That doesn't work at all.
Yeah. I mean, presumably if you teach all the fundamentals and you teach about love and you teach about all these things, you can also say abstinence an option. I mean, having that information isn't necessarily, I think they think it's going to increase sexual activity, having the knowledge.
Right.
But
I think they think that it gives permission.
Okay.
I think that if you don't say abstinence only, I think what they think is it gives permission.
Okay.
And I don't think, especially young people, you know, where their brains are in development, they're at a place where impulse control is not their strongest suit, and it's not their fault. That's just where they are developmentally. And I think in the heat of the moment, they're not going to remember that abstinence only, and, you know, that's what happens. And if you can give them tools, you can give them more tools rather than just say no, then I think giving them lots of tools so that, you know, and so that they think about it earlier in the evening, you know, and they take care of each other, and they say, I'm not going to get drunk because that's not safe, and I'm not going to let my friend get drunk, and if she does get drunk, I'm not going to let her leave with that guy,
right.
You know, so that so you can back it up with a whole lot of tools, and that's what I think, you know, that kids need, and I think the schools should be able to do that. I think they can do that.
Yeah. Those kind of programs are being produced by colleges now, I think, as a response to the really high incidence of sexual assault on college campuses. But from what you're saying, it seems like you could see a place for that in schools.
Oh, I think so. I think it's important in high schools, too.
Yeah.
And I'm talking off the top of my head, but I think that schools can do it if they get parents involved, if parents know what's going on, if parents are part of it, if they're helping. You know, I think if there's stuff going on and they don't know anything about it, and their kids probably are not going to come home and say, oh, here's what we did and here's what we talked about.
Yeah.
They're just going to hear a little bit, and that could be alarming. So, you know, I think a carefully thought out program that involves parents as well and gives kids lots of tools and doesn't get into religion and says, you know, we're not here to tell you anything different than your religion says. Absolutely. Whatever you feel right in your family, that's what counts. Here's some other information.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds so simple when I say it, and I know it's not.
Yeah. Well, I think perhaps for a lot of parents, that ignorance is bliss. You know, they can just try and convince themselves that everything is fine if they don't discuss things.
Right. Not my kid. Not my kid. And then, you know, kablooey.
Yeah. Well, I know my son's school, they actually sent home a questionnaire that they had to do with their parent. And, you know, the questions were really thought-provoking, you know, things that, first of all, the student had to answer all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had to say what they thought their parent would answer.
Interesting, yeah.
And then the parent actually had to take the survey, and then you discussed all of that. So it was kind of like what your child thought of you and what you would say as well. And, I mean, there were some of, one question was, you know, if two teenagers love each other and they're under 18, but they're really, really in love, should they have sex? And I was like, it took me ages to think about that, you know, and how to kind of word my answer. And there were also questions about what are the three main things to remember when putting on a condom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they were quite intimate questions in a way, and I thought it was
ranging.
Yes, exactly, from the emotional to the practical, and I thought it was quite interesting that they were hoping that parents would get involved in that way.
How long did it take? I mean, how long did it take your family to do that, would you say?
I don't know how long it took my son to do it, but it took me about an hour, I think, to answer, because
Another hour talking about it?
Yes, at least, yeah.
So you're looking at 2 hours, and which is great, but it'd be interesting to see what percentage of families manage to do that.
Yeah. Well, I think I know at least one of my son's friends, I mentioned it to one of the mothers. I was like, oh, wasn't that survey really interesting? And she went, what survey?
Right.
So I'm sure a lot of parents never got the survey because their kids were perhaps too embarrassed to talk about it, which is a shame.
Yeah. Forgot about it, or the parents didn't want spoke to her, they looked at it and said, I'm not doing this, and or you know, they're working. I mean, there's a million yeah. things. So it's, I don't know. I believe in silver shotgun, you know, not a silver bullet. So I think you give them as much information in many different ways as you can, in different media and different people, and yeah. you know, and just hopefully you get as much to take root as possible.
Yeah. Can I ask you how you found out about sex?
How I found out? Oh, Lord. How did I find out? I have a funny story about that. So this was back, it would have been late 50s, early 60s in uh-huh. West Texas.
All right.
And my mother called me into a room. It was just her and me, which never, ever happened. So it was very special.
Right.
And my brother and sister, they weren't in there. My dad, it was just us, and it was great. And she said, well, there's this thing that happens to girls. And it was just about menstrual cycles is all it was.
Yeah.
And she drew, you know, kind of a picture of fallopian tubes.
Uh-huh.
And my dad walked through the room. And as he did, she looked horrified that he walked through. And she turned the paper over until he was out of the room.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so it was. Yeah. And, you know, so it was sort of like, we don't talk about it. You know, I'm going to give you... You know, the basics, and, you know, here's how you deal with this, and it's not that big a deal, although a lot of people think it is, and, you know, so how I found out how...
Babies are made, sort of.
I couldn't quite figure out how all the parts fit together.
Yeah.
And I was in a head shop, you know, a hippie shop, and they had a black light poster of olive oil and Popeye. Doing it. It was like, oh, one lays down, the other on top. So, so it wasn't very helpful.
Yeah, I think it's really hard probably for anyone young today to understand that not that long ago, there were a lot of people who literally had no idea. I mean, I had a friend who, you know, is 25 years older than me, who thought that you put it in the belly button. Do you know what I mean? Because they just really, people had no idea. You just didn't, you know, unless you had knowledgeable friends.
That's right. Nobody talked about it. You know, I mean, there was a class at school maybe, but it was, you know.
Yeah.
It was stuff about menstrual cycle for girls, but that was kind of it.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Well, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you very much.
All right, good. Well, thank you very much. It was fun.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thank you very much to all the people who talked to me this week for the show, giving their opinions on our topic, how should we teach children about sex, and I hope it's been stimulating for you to hear what people had to say and maybe think what you think about it. And remember, if you have any comments, please do email me. I like to hear from you, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And just to remind you also, if you go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, you can hear podcasts of all the previous shows, all the different topics, all the different guests we've had, and you can also find out other information about me and the show and connect via social media if you would like to, Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook. Always good to be connected in that way if you're interested in those kind of things. To remind you again, next up is my special guest, Myra Kalman. She's a journalist, designer, and one of America's most celebrated illustrators. She's had an amazing career. She's just such a creative person in so many different ways. I'm really looking forward to talking to her and also about her latest book, which is called Beloved Dog, which is a book of wise words and whimsical pictures all about dogs and the lessons that they teach us and unconditional love. It's a really lovely book. So hope you can stay with us. That's coming up in the second hour. I'll see you then.